We thank you, Father. You are a good daddy God, and we rejoice in you tonight. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. We're glad, we're thankful, we're expecting all in you tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the works that you have done. We thank you for what you have done in us here at Victory Life Family Church, for those watching. We thank you that the works you're doing through us. We thank you, Father, that you're doing it again. We thank you, Father, for the healing anointing. We thank you, Father, that you're touching bodies tonight. Here, watching, there's no distance in the spirit. Glory to God. Praise God. Are you expecting this evening? Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. This is an exciting night. What better place to be than in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. With this beautiful rain. And we thank you, Father, for the refreshing rain. And like Pastor said, the former and the latter rain. Let this be a symbol of the former and the latter rain. We thank you for it. We thank you for the refreshing abundance of rain, that it's a peaceful rain, that it is a safe rain, and it is a rain, hallelujah, that is a blessing to the people and the community. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if it's your first time, welcome. Welcome to those of you online. Our website is vlfc.church. You can find out more about us, submit your prayer requests, your testimonies, access our past messages, video, audio, and sermon notes. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Pastor Rodney's daily devotional is on our website, and it's on Facebook every day. I sign up for it on the through the website for the newsletter portion, and it comes to my email every day. And so we're thankful for that. It comes right up in my inbox. I click on it and I can read the devotional every morning. It's perfect. And so Wednesday's doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30. We have Friday prayer here from 9 to 10. And we invite you to join us for Friday prayer. Currently, we're looking for volunteers for greeters, coffee station, ushers, video production, announcements, praise God, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. So if you have a heart for those areas, come see us, talk to us. We will sign you up. We thank you, volunteers. We appreciate you. Invite someone to church. Be intentional. 4 out of 5 people come to church because somebody invited them. And so we're excited and expecting about that tonight, that each and every one of us have people in our path this week that we can say, we would like to invite you to church. Do you have a church home, first of all? If they don't have a church home, we want to invite them here. We want to give them an opportunity to hear what God has for their life. Amen. So just be thinking, just be expecting somebody in your path this week for God to put in your life to invite to church. And so this evening for offering, please turn to James chapter 1, verse 17. James 1, 17. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Classic. And I'm also going to read Psalm 37:4, but we'll just, that'll be in the Passion Translation, Psalm 37:4. So James 1:17 out of the Amplified Classic. Classic is key with the Amplified Bible. James 1:17. This is so good. I was reading it in other translations as well earlier. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light, in the shining of whom there is no variation, rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning. So he has no shadows in him. He is the God of light. Every good and every perfect gift comes from him. Have you had some gifts from the Father that you just know when you're going out, he did that? It might just be something on sale. It might be the last pair of pants when you went and it was the perfect pair that just fit only you that you were looking for. You know he saved that for you. Something simple like that is so big. The God of the universe, He has us on His mind. When we're tithers, when we're givers, the windows of heaven are open over our lives and we can expect the blessing. Psalm 37:4, this is the Passion Translation, says, "Find your delight and true pleasure in Yahweh, and He will give you what you desire the most." Verse 5 says, "Give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust Him along the way, you'll find that He pulled it off perfectly." There's those pair of pants coming up again. Give God the right to direct your life. Don't you think He can direct you to the right pair of pants for whatever reason? And even more than that, the relationships, the gifts and callings, the path, the job assignments that He has for us, whatever it is. But when we find our delight and our true pleasure in Yahweh, He will give us the desires of our heart, what we desire most. And when we're walking with Him, it's His desire that He places in our heart. And so just get before the Lord. Find out what are some things that you have a desire for. What are some things? And it might be a vacation to Italy. It might be to meet the man of your dreams. Praise the Lord. It might be to have a pair of pants that fit you perfectly. Amen. God is so good. He has every part of our lives planned out. He can do it. He's done it before and He'll do it again. And so I want to encourage you, get with the Father. Get with Him. Find out what His desire is for your life, for the call on your life, because He's going to make it known to you. And He is faithful in that. Praise God. And so this evening, as we're doing the offering, I want to give an update on phase one of our building project. We are in phase one right now. We're believing for $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. And so there's a QR code on your screen where you can find out more about the vision. And we're believing for a property, a building of our own with lots of room for growth, with rooms for prayer groups, connect groups, nursery classrooms for our children's ministry, young adults, a fellowship hall that includes a kitchen. Praise God, we need that. And even when we were in the children's ministry last week, you know, I saw a stage, a platform. They need that. They need to be able to act out the dramas, the worship, and the things that the adults are doing in with the children. And there was some of that in our curriculum. And so we do what we can with where we are right now, but we're calling in those places and the building and the property. We're believing for lots of room for growth with this, with rooms for prayer groups. I said that, connect nursery classrooms. And so just imagine that you have the vision, I was going to say brochure in your Bible, but also the poster as well. And so we're keeping that before us. And there's an option when you're giving to choose building fund. Online, there's a drop down for that. There's general, and then there's building fund in the room. You can write it on the envelope, write it on the check as well. And so as you give today, if you're given by cash or credit card, please use the offering envelope and sign the signature line. If it's by credit card, if it's by check, please write it to VLFC. We invite those of you online to join with us and be a part of this vision. And as we see it, you are reaping the harvest of what we see here in Ogallala and the surrounding communities. Let's say our offering confession tonight. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings. We are getting our lands. We are getting all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance.
We are furnished in abundance.
Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name, You may receive the offering.
Well, I'm excited to be here tonight on this Wednesday night, our midweek boost. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to continue tonight. And actually, this is to close out our series that we've been teaching here on Wednesday nights on Jesus, the Miracle Worker. Again, this is a discipleship class, so we're going to have some interaction in this class. So we're going to open here. And what we're going to be sharing on tonight is the miracle of the lame man at the beautiful gate that we see in Acts chapter 3. And again, this is what we've been studying here on Sundays, but even specifically here on Wednesdays as well, is we have been examining, really doing an autopsy, if you might say that, on these miracles that we find in Scripture. And again, we focus mainly on the healing miracles, but also on the financial miracles, you know, the miraculous catches of fish, you know, things like this, but really to see how faith works. Because again, we see here, and I don't want to go back to some of our foundation scriptures over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's helping us tonight. He's helping us tonight. John 14, 10. Again, all of this is pointing to you and I doing the works that Jesus did. Again, the mission statement for this class is the miracles of Jesus, the mission of his people. What we saw Jesus do, Jesus said in himself over in John 14, 10, do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who lives in me does the works. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me on the count of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will do the works that I do also, and he will do greater works than these because I'm going to my Father. I will do whatever you ask, or that word ask means to make a faith demand. Whatever you come to the Father in agreement with the will of the Father, and you make a demand on the Word of God, he says here, in my name, he says, I will do it. He says, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, he says it, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. So again, Jesus is letting you know everything that you have seen take place in his life, in his ministry, all of the miracles, the turning into water to wine, the loaves, the fishes, feeding the multitudes, healing the sick, all of these things. He's letting you know it wasn't me. It's not me personally just out here, you know, casting out devils and healing the sick and doing all that stuff. It wasn't me. It's the Father in me. He does the works. He says it all also over in John 5. You can see it in verse 12 and again at verse 30. He says, I don't say anything. I don't do anything unless I've heard from the Father. But as I hear from him what to say, I say it. As he reveals to me what to do, that I go do. And that's what works. It's not me, it's the Father in me. So again, he's letting you know, boys, this will work for you the same as you've seen it work for me, because here's the truth. It's not me, it's the Father in me. So none of this worked because he's Jesus. It works because it's the Father's word in him that is working through him. It's the Father's word. So this is why he's able to tell us. He says, truly, truly, no, really, I'm really telling you the truth. I know at this point in time, it may be hard to wrap your mind around. He says, but truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will do the works that I do. Also, the same works. This is the exact same things that you have seen me do. You're going to do it also. But he says, and he or you will do greater works than these. Why is that? Well, Jesus, this vessel who the Father's been operating through, has to go to the Father. Now you and I are his chosen vessels that he has is now going to work through. This is why the scripture says over in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19, 20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God at the new birth moved into your body, this natural body, and he calls this his temple. So when Jesus dies on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we saw that the veil of the temple is, like it says, the hand of God ripped it top to bottom. This veil is 4 inches thick. This thing didn't naturally just come apart. It ripped top to bottom, just like the hand of God. Holy Spirit moved out of the temple, which he was confined to there in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, and he's no longer there. He's no longer there. Matter of fact, I was there in December. He's not there. The temple's not there. The Western Wall is there. That whole temple's gone. We got the Dome of the Rock over there and all this other stuff. But no, where is he? He's in me. He's in you. He says, I'm no longer confined to that. I didn't desire to be in this building. You know, this is, again, it was a progressive thing. But now he says, I'm going to be in you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. We're going to live as one. Hallelujah. You can't get any closer fellowship than that. I'm going to be in you. We're going to be together now and for all eternity. Hallelujah to Jesus. In just a few more days, we're going to behold him with our eyes. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, he who believes in me will do the works that I do also. So here in tonight's teaching, we want to look at what happens over here in Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to go ahead and just get right into this. But as I read this passage, I want to ask that you out here, and when we get to the end of this, be listening for something specifically that stands out to you in this passage, whatever it is, and just be ready to share, because I want to hear from you. But here in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, one afternoon, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those entering the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked directly at him, as did John. "Look at us," said Peter. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Taking him by the right hand, Peter helped him up, and at once the man's feet and ankles were made strong. He sprang to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and leaping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. Praise God. So, and I want to just hear from one or two of you, but in this passage right here, and we're going to break it down in a minute, but I just want to hear from you. What stood out to you about this passage? Yes. Go ahead.
When he healed him, he didn't stay quiet and, you know, reserved and stuff. I mean, he was very boisterous up and praising him.
Right. So when he got healed, there was a shout, there was some leaping, there was a commotion. Amen. Well, no. It said, yeah, he'd been lame from birth. So yeah, amen. Praise God. Go ahead.
So they didn't just answer him immediately. They looked at him, and I believe they were listening for on the inside to be led, what the Father wanted them to.
Okay. Amen. So when they saw the man, it says when... In verse 3, when Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked directly at him. So what you're saying is he looked directly at the man and was discerning in the spirit what to do here. And in this moment,
yeah.
He saw, he heard, because that's a pretty bold action. You know, he didn't just speak a word. He actually takes the man by the hand and just go ahead and grabs him. Amen. Praise God. That's some strong faith right there. You better have a word from God or you go out and just start yanking folks up out of their wheelchairs. Amen. Glory to God. Well, let's take a look at this. Number one, what does this miracle reveal to us about Jesus? Just like Jesus had said, he continues his ministry through his disciples. Praise God. This word here, Peter responds and he says this, you know, to the people, why do you stare at us as if by our own power? Praise God. And then we find this over in Acts as we continue reading there. Let me turn there in my Bible. In verse 12, well, let's pick up here at verse 11 where we left off. As the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the entrance that is called Solomon's Porch, greatly amazed. When Peter saw it, he answered the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this man, or why do you stare at us? As if by our own power or our piety, we had made him walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you handed over and denied the presence of Pilate." And he goes on and preaches the gospel to them. And then he says in verse 16, "And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Amen. So what was Peter preaching? What was he giving glory to? The name of Jesus, but specifically faith in the name. So Peter, he's a faith preacher. Peter's a faith preacher. They're all faith preachers. Every single one of them. This is why Paul writes over here in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, "This is the word of faith which we preach." This is the word of faith which we preach. You believe this word in your heart, you confess it out of your mouth, it activates, it comes alive, and by that, you're born again. By that, you're healed. By that, you're blessed. By that, you receive every single promise that has been given to you in Christ. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Jesus. So where were we here? Peter says, "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power?" So again, this miracle is Jesus personally present, working through his disciples. This is the Great Commission. So again, we see over in Mark 16, Jesus says, go out, and again, the Great Commission, go preach the gospel to every creature. Go all over this world, preach the gospel. Those who believe will be saved. Those who don't, they won't. It says, in my name, go cast out the devil. In my name, Go lay hands on the sick. And what's going to happen? He said, they will recover. What's your part? Believe it. Go do it. What's his part? Be there to back it. And what did he say over in verse Mark 16:20? They went out preaching everywhere, and the Lord was with them, confirming his word. How was he doing? They were preaching in the name, they're ministering in the name, and he's there working with them, personally present with them. When they invoke the name of Jesus, he says it was faith in the name that made this man whole. When they use the name in faith, he's right there to do that work. Just the same as it was with the Father working through him. Again, he's right here, exactly what he told them over in John 14, verse 12, 13, 14. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That I will do. That I will do. He's right there. So again, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Glory to God. He's there to do the work. But we also see this here. Again, what is happening here? This is the Great Commission becoming an actual reality over here in Acts 3. We also see here the second part is Jesus empowers ordinary people with the Holy Spirit. Now, looking back here, Peter and John, these guys were rough and tough fishermen. These were not church boys that he went and picked out and said, hey, you just graduated Bible college. You grew up in the faith. You got some, I can use that. Come over here and let's work together. No, these boys were rough and tough. Peter himself said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He wasn't a church goer. These are not tithers and sowers and good Bible believers. No, they're not. They're fishermen. These are not scholars. These are not priests. They've not been trained, you know, as clergy. They have been the last 3.5 years with Jesus. But again, this is not who he picked. The Holy Spirit takes ordinary people and does supernatural things. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians. Just touch on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hear this. The excellency of the power being from God and not of ourselves. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, the life of God resident on the inside of you. But more than that, we have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said over here in Acts chapter 1, here at verse 8, he says, so again, he had already breathed on them over here in John. They received Holy Spirit. They were born again. But then he told them, wait, don't leave. He says over here in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 7, verse 8, he says, but you shall receive power. That word power is the word dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. It's dynamic, wonder-working, miracle power. You shall receive dynamic, wonder-working, miracle power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not in you, upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it's wonderful that you're born again. But now I want to equip you to go do ministry. Not just your idea, not man's idea of how we're going to go do ministry. No, but according to God's idea. God has a way and a method of ministering people. And it's not, let's start a GoFundMe account to go over here and try to help brother get a surgery. You know, if that's how the Lord leads you, fine, but there's a higher flow. There's a higher flow. And Peter knew that flow. Such as I have, give I you in the name of Jesus. Faith in the name. Faith in the name. Faith in the name did what medical science could not do. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, again, looking here what this miracle reveals to us about Jesus. Jesus gives his name as the authority for the miracles. Again, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So looking at what is in this name, the name carries Jesus's authority. It's again as though Jesus is personally present. The name carries Jesus's power. Well, that seems obvious. This man is miraculously healed. The name is a legal right that has been given to believers. Again, he said, in my name, you go. Not just a select few, the whole church. Hallelujah. The name works, again, as though Jesus himself is personally present. So look at here, the name, it's not some type of a formula to be figured out. It is simply the delegated authority and the power of the risen Christ. Glory to God. So also looking here at what's not there. Peter, seeing this man, again, lame from mother's womb, he doesn't pray for healing. If you go back and look at the miracles of Jesus and which we've been going through, again, every service we're taking a different miracle and dissecting it. Jesus never prays for somebody to be healed. Not one time. He never goes and says, hey, Father, could you please do something for this woman over here? Could you please, you know, raise this dead person? No, no. All he does is he gives a faith command for somebody to be healed, to be made whole. He'll have a direction for them. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, right? And the man receives his sight. Glory to God. Jesus doesn't pray to the Father, please heal. Why? It's not necessary. All you need is a word from God. He says again in Mark 11:23, whosoever will say unto the mountain. Don't pray to God about the mountain. Don't pray to God about the situation, the sickness and disease. It's right to go to Him, to go to the Scripture to find out what He thinks about it. It's right to stop and listen to the Holy Spirit show you what to say and how to respond in this manner. It's not okay to just take off, oh God, please heal my pain. Please do this and please do that. No, that's not how it works. Jesus didn't say, go out into all the world, preach the gospel, and then just pray, and hope it works. It's not in there. No, you go. When you see the devil, you cast him out in my name. When you come across the sick person, you go lay hands on them, and in my name, exactly what you see Peter and John do right here. They went and they took the man, they laid hands on him, they gave a faith command, you rise and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Power is released, power is received, the man is healed. So again, Peter does not pray for healing. He used the name, he gave a faith command. So looking here, God's part and man's part. God's part is he gave us power of attorney to use Jesus' name. What can a name do? Everything that that person can do. Our part is in faith and obedience, use the name. Use the name in faith and in obedience. I'm going to go preach in the name. I'm going to cast out the devil in the name. And when I encounter the sick, I'm going to lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to expect God to do his part. That's exactly how he functioned here in the book of Acts. That's exactly how he's been functioning these last 2,000 years. That's exactly how he's functioning here tonight. And he will be tomorrow. He's the same. He's the same. The power and the authority in the name of Jesus has not gone away. It is not diminished. So again, you and I, we don't need faith to use the name. We just need to have faith in the name. We need to have faith that when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, that he's still here tonight to back it to the hilt, even as he did when the moment he said it. Glory to God. All he needs is you and I to believe him and to take him at his word and to act on it. Thank you, Jesus. So again, Jesus responds, as he always have, to bold and obedient faith. So again, Peter doesn't just speak the name of Jesus. He, at the same time, takes him by the hand. He raises him up. So again, faith speaks, but faith is also an act. Faith is an act. So again, faith does not wait for visible change. It moves because the word has been spoken. When I give a faith command in the name of Jesus, I'm not considering, well, I don't know if I felt something instant or not. Praise God, a lot of times we've seen people receive something instantly, in full. Sometimes they're receiving it in part, and they got to continue to walk it out. But either way, the word's working. Either way, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Faith speaks and faith acts in according to what it has spoken. Now, what we also see here is Jesus uses miracles to open doors for the gospel. So this man, he jumps up. He's never, so again, there's really a double miracle. This man has never walked a day in his life. And all of a sudden he can walk and he can leap. He learned how to walk in a moment of time. You know, that takes time. It's not just that I have the ability, but that's a motor skill you have to learn. He learned how to do it in a moment of time. And he's up here walking, he's leaping, he's shouting, and everyone's like, we know that man. That's a miracle. They come running over, and Peter just says, oh, here's an opportunity. I'm going to preach the gospel. and people got saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So miracles are invitations to salvation. Praise God. Don't you want to know the God who heals you? Yes. So again, thank you, Jesus. Let's keep moving. What does this miracle reveal to us about the disciples? Well, number one, disciples show up consistently. Show up consistently. Peter and John, what were they doing? They were going to church. There's a prayer meeting. Peter and John, what are y'all doing? It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to church. There's a prayer meeting. And they met here regularly, daily, daily. By the way, we're having Friday prayer here at 9 o'clock. What are they doing? They're on their way to church to go pray. They're having a prayer meeting. Miracles often happen in ordinary patterns of obedience. Miracles often happen in your everyday, ordinary patterns of obedience. The simple things. The simple things. Reading our Bibles, spending time in prayer, going to church, going to a prayer meeting, just these natural things as He leads, miracles are lined up for you all along the way. People a lot of times are waiting for the spectacular just to drop on them. I had this open vision. Jesus was standing here face to face, whatever it might be, and they're looking for some spectacular thing. And this is just the everyday, ordinary. I was just on my way to church. I was just on my way to here. I was just doing this. And all of a sudden, there was this divine appointment, this divine connection, and a miracle took place. Yeah. I was able to share the gospel with somebody, and they received salvation. That's an awesome miracle. Do you understand? The new birth is the most awesome miracle known to mankind. Raising the dead, healing the sick, all of that pales in comparison to the eternal salvation of a human spirit. You were a sinner serving Satan on your way to the eternal lake of fire, and in a moment of time, that was changed. You were transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, and you're now going to spend eternity at the right hand of the Father as a son of God. That's awesome.
Amen.
That's awesome. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Speaking of Paula, Pastor Paula, was that yesterday or day before? It was yesterday, was it not? But you, the young lady, yeah. Yeah, you were just at work, just doing your normal activities, but then someone came along and an open door came and you just started talking to her. Next thing you know, you find out that she don't know the Lord. You were able to share with her, and there in just the next few moments, you led her to the Lord. She's confessing, Jesus, come into my heart, take my life. She's born again. Just in a normal, ordinary, I'm just about my business. Amen. Miracles. Miracles are here to take place every day. Are you expecting? Are you looking? Are you aware? Are we aware that Holy Spirit power, resurrection life, resurrection power, all of the power of God is personally present on the inside of you here tonight and continually to do a work? Are you aware of that? When you go to the grocery store, do you recognize there is resurrection life? There's resurrection power to heal everybody, to save everybody, to deliver everybody from whatever has been bothering them. He's present. And He wants to do that work.
Amen.
He says over here in Timothy, I desire all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. But how are they going to hear it unless they have a preacher? You are that preacher. You are that minister. You are that disciple who is there to bring the name of Jesus into that situation. Glory to God. So many believers live their lives going to the same grocery store, going to the same places, and never experience any of this. This is supposed to be the ordinary, everyday reality for your life. That's a vision. That's a vision. Grab hold of the vision. Hallelujah. See yourself the way God sees you. God sees you fulfilling the Great Commission. And again, you don't have to go to the ends of the earth. He may call you to the ends of the earth. By and large, that's not the case. By and large, he has you right where he needs you, and he needs you right there to be that salt, to be that light in your neighborhood, in your grocery store, just in your ordinary everyday. Yes, to one another here in the church as well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is so awesome to me. These rough and tough fishermen, you know, are now out here preaching the gospel, and God is using them mightily. Again, it's not them, it's Christ in them that's doing the work. Again, disciples show up consistently. Disciples see people the way God sees them. It says Peter looked straight at him. Compassion will always precede power. What is compassion? Compassion is love in action. I see a situation. My heart goes out to you. Lord, I know that's not right. You know that's not right. Now, what are we going to do about it, Lord? What would you have me do? Now, again, just a little bit before this, if y'all remember the disciples, they're there. There's this man. He was born blind. And they said, they're all debating. Who sinned, Jesus, him or his parents? This man's been lame from his mother's womb. Same thing, really. They're not asking that now. Now they're responding just like Jesus did. No, boys, it wasn't either of that. This is so that the glory of God might be revealed and made manifest. It's just an opportunity to reveal the glory of God. So now they're looking at this the same way that Jesus did and said, this is an opportunity to reveal the glory of God. They looked at the man. He's checking. I know exactly what they were doing. He's checking on the inside. Whenever I've ever gone to minister, and again, years and years and years now, I had the opportunity to minister to thousands of people one-on-one, doing the exact same thing. I know what the Word says about it. I know what God wants to do. I know He wants you healed. I know He wants you saved. I know He wants you free. And now I'm listening to whatever's going on, what they're sharing with me, but I'm really listening to my spirit man. I'm allowing Him to show me, to speak to me how to minister to this person. And again, this can happen that quick. This can happen so quick. So again, you're here and here, but you're really here and here. And then all of a sudden, hey, rise in the name of Jesus. He saw, I know it. He saw himself say it. He saw himself do it. And without even giving his brain a chance to think about or reason about, he just, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Amen. And you go throughout the book of Acts. We taught a series the beginning of 2025. You can look it up. 12-part series, I believe, on the name of Jesus. We were teaching about the name, but then we went through the book of Acts specifically, and we were looking at all the disciples, the different ones, and how they used the name. Yeah. Again, what we also noticed is they ministered just like Jesus ministered. They did not pray, oh God, please, oh God, could you? They gave a faith command, just like Peter and John does right here, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God, and miracles. What was it? Faith in the name. So again, the disciples, they gave what they had. Silver and gold I do not have. You know, mama's got the pocketbook, you know, but what I have, I give you. So again, you and I, we do have something. Oh, and it's the greatest thing of all. We have the name, but not just the name. We have the Holy Spirit. So again, I want to encourage those of you here, those of you online. That's great. I encourage you, if you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, tonight's your night to get born again. Praise God. But once you're born again, get filled with the Spirit. Holy Spirit within is salvation. Holy Spirit upon is empowerment to go do the work. Dynamic, wonder, working, miraculous power to go do the work. So again, Jesus says, hey, boys, yes, I've called you to go. Yes, you have received the new birth, but now the day of Pentecost is just a few days away. You stay right here in this upper room. Praise God. I got to go there last year. That was so awesome. That's a beautiful place. The upper room, 120 were there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, all of them, they were all speaking in tongues. That was just the initial evidence. But then we see Peter come down from the upper room. He preaches a fiery gospel. And again, looking, was there in that place. And again, there's not an amphitheater there. There's just these narrow streets and corridors. He preaches the gospel. So again, I don't know how that message got amplified that day, but 3,000 people got saved. Preaching one good gospel message, 3,000 people got saved that very first day. Awesome. That was a manifestation of Holy Spirit upon Peter. Just a few days before, he had denied the Christ 3 times. And now all of a sudden, he is out here with such boldness and anointing. 3,000 people are saved. Glory to God. Awesome. Holy Spirit upon us. So again, they had the name, they have the Spirit, and they recognize we have the authority. But with all of that, we also have this great commission. We have the assignment. So again, we have faith, but faith is an act. We are going. We are teaching it. We are preaching it. We're ministering to it, and we're expecting. The disciples, they act boldly in faith. Peter takes him by the hand. So faith will always move in alignment with the word that is spoken. It will always move in alignment with the word is spoken. You say you believe? Wonderful. Show me. Show me your faith. Show me your faith. Amen. Holy Spirit, he won't just give you a word to speak. He'll give you a faith to word to obey. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus, you know, it would seem as though we've seen this with others. Why couldn't he just lay hands on the man? Now he does. He spits and he makes clay and what have you. Now go wash. Why the process? Faith. Faith. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. Jesus, go show yourself to the priest leper. As they went, they were healed. Same concept. Same concept. There is a pattern to faith. Say it, believe it, say it, do it. Believe it, say it, do it. Faith is of the heart. Faith speaks. Faith is an act.
Amen.
Those three. Every time. Every time. Didn't matter whether it was Jesus doing it, someone coming up to Jesus, or the disciples ministering to it, just like Jesus did. Disciples expect Jesus to confirm his word. They had faith in the name. They had faith that as I'm grabbing this man up, he's a crippled man, he can't walk, as I'm raising this man up, Jesus, you're going to do something. Otherwise, we're going to have a lawsuit. You know? Immediately, the man stood, walked, leaped, and he praised. Now, Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did, how he did it, it works the same way today, just as it did for Peter and John at the beautiful gate, just as it did on the other side of the cross. Same thing. Now, what is this turning point of this miracle? What I have, I give you. This is really the moment that Peter steps into Jesus' healing ministry. Now, just a day or two before, he comes out of the upper room and he has stepped over into Jesus' preaching ministry. But here is when Peter steps into the healing ministry. I love that. He is no longer watching Jesus do the miracles. He is doing the works Jesus commanded each one of us to do. Now, again, make a note here. Peter did not need faith to use the name. You don't need faith to use the name. That has just been delegated to you. Not just delegated. Jesus commanded you. Go use it. Go use it. Everywhere you go. Colossians. Hold on. Hold my place here. Colossians chapter 3. This is in the New Testament here. Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah to Jesus. Verse, I believe, let's see, 17. Yes, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed or action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You go to the grocery store, I'm going in the name. I'm going to drive down the street, I'm going in the name. I'm going to stand up here and preach, I'm going to do it in the name. I'm going to go lay hands, I'm going to do it in the name. I'm going to cast out the devil in the name. Everything you do, I am doing it aware of the power that is present within me in Christ Jesus. And as I invoke that name, as I speak that name, I'm absolutely expecting that all of heaven, all of that resurrection life, all of that resurrection power is being released through that word, through that name. It's literally when I speak the name of Jesus. So again, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that was created was, is, or will be, everything, praise God, was created by the Word of God. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. He's still the Word. When you speak the name of Jesus, you are literally taking the entire volume of this book, all of the authority, all of the weight, every name that you have ever seen named, all of these things are culminated in Jesus. El Shaddai, Jehovah Nisi, our victory, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. All of these names, all of these titles, all of this is all culminated and invested into the name of Jesus. This is why he says this name has authority in heaven, in the earth, under the earth, in this age, and in all the ages to come. There is no greater name. And what can the name do? All that he can do. And he is unlimited. He is unlimited. Hebrews 1:3 says he is upholding all things by the word of his power. All I've got to do is release the name of Jesus in faith, and I'm releasing all of the power of the universe, all of the power of God himself, everything that makes God God is released. I don't need faith to use it. I need faith in it. According, again, Jesus, Mark 9:23, according to your faith, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, again, we see people out here, you know, they're using the name of Jesus left and right. There's no faith in it. You see a whole lot of even unbelievers taking the Lord's name in vain. No faith in it. There's no power. The power is present. Power is released according to your faith. When you speak the name of Jesus, what are you seeing happen? This much, or like Peter? Peter had a revelation. He had revelation knowledge. He had faith in the name, not just in his legal right to use it. He had revelation knowledge of the power that was invested in that name. You've got to be absolutely sure before you go and just start jerking folks up out of wheelchairs, right? Amen. Faith in the name. Faith in the name. Again, I want to encourage you, go back to the beginning of last year. We taught faith in the name. Faith in the name. And it's a good just to renew our minds to that place. Glory to God. Again, he needed faith in the name. So faith in the name, what does this mean? It means confidence in the person behind the name. I have confidence in the person who's behind the name. Well, how am I going to get that, Pastor? Spend time with the person. Spend time with the person. Well, how do I do that? Primarily, number one, spend time reading your Bible. He is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Glory to God. Allow him, number one, to speak to you through his Word. And now spend time with him in your own prayer closet. Lord Jesus, I'm here to fellowship with you today, here this morning. Hey, amen. Is there something you want to say to me? I'm listening. I have some things that maybe I want to talk to you about, you know, but I just want to hear from you. just spending time, just having two-way conversation, just having fellowship, allowing him to speak to your heart, not your audible ear, your heart, the voice of your spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Faith in the name means confidence in the person behind the name. Glory to God. Peter acted because Jesus commanded it. The name worked as though Jesus himself had spoken it. When we speak his name as he commands us, Jesus is personally present, watching over his word to perform it. Jeremiah 1:12. Amen. He says, I watch over my word to perform it. Glory to God. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It'll not return back to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It'll prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. When you say what God told you to say, when you'll go speak the name of Jesus in faith, it is God speaking through you. It is God. Again, it is Christ who lives in you. Not you, it's Christ who lives in you. When I will listen to God and say and do what God said, it is God present. It is Jesus present. They're speaking it through me and ultimately doing that work. I just get to be a participator in it. And at the end of it all, he says he's going to reward your faith. Glory to God. Now, want to make note here? Thank you, Jesus. There is a shift that each one of us must take from being a hearer of the word only to being a doer of the word. I understand this. A true disciple of Jesus is not a hearer, it's a doer. It's one thing to hear. Jesus, what did he say? Who it is who loves me? He who has my commands and does them. And does them. James, the brother of Jesus, says, if all you've done is heard the word and you don't act on the word, he says, you're just deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. There's no power in that. There's no power in that. No, healing power, for example, healing power is always present. But it is not activated until you choose to believe it, speak it, and now act in it or according to it in faith. Again, believe it, say it, do it. Praise God. So again, and again, you don't have to think, well, if I pray long enough and study long enough, and then maybe I can start stepping out. Speak right now. Step out wherever you are in the name of Jesus. Again, do everything in word or in action, do it all in the name, faith in the name. I'm going, and again, just on, and just to help yourself, I'm going to get dressed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, I'm putting on my clothes all for the glory of God. I thank you, Lord, I'm going into this day. I'm aware of the name of Jesus, and I speak Jesus over this day. I speak Jesus over my family. I speak Jesus over my baby. I speak Jesus over my church. I speak Jesus over my vehicle. Amen. I speak Jesus over this community. Glory to God. Speak Jesus. Declare Jesus and expect that as I do it, Jesus is right here manifesting himself. The glory of God is present, manifesting himself with signs, wonders, miracles. Expect that he's confirming his word. Whatever's needed, whatever's out of order, speak to it in the name of Jesus. So in closing here for this section, again, how was this miracle activated? Well, number one, they were just going to church. Ordinary act of obedience. I'm going to church because there's a 3 o'clock prayer meeting, and this is where we go. Number two, they saw the man. They had compassion. So again, compassion is love in action. I see a need, I see a hurt, and I'm not willing to just leave you as you are. So Lord, what do you want to do about this? He hears. Peter gives a faith command in Jesus' name. He exercises authority. Number four, Peter takes him by the hand. Again, faith is an act. He takes action. What happens? The man's feet are strengthened. That's the manifestation. He walks and he leaps. That's the transformation. Crowds gathered. That's the opportunity. Again, healing is the dinner bell. Peter preaches and the church is multiplied. This is how Jesus works through his people. Glory to God. So we have some group activity here in the room, but I'm going to go ahead and dismiss online. Know this, God loves you. We love you, and in Him we are living in victory.